all of your pride. There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we're still unbreakable.
All right, what is up, guys? Welcome to the Reborn Podcast. I am back. I have a returning guest, Mr. Pastor T, Thomas Lane.
He's
the pastor here at Ascent Church.
Oh, yeah.
It is so good to have you here. How's it going?
It's a privilege. Thanks for having me back. Yeah. I didn't ruin it last time.
You did
it.
You did a good job.
I can't
so
believe it.
You
I'm
passed.
Shocked. I did. That's great.
Yeah, a little above average. So I have you back now. You're welcome.
I love that.
I actually had to convince him to come in here by making him a Muscle Joe.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have the first sip. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, it's so good. So at American Brew, we're actually upstairs on the loft. Ooh. At American Brew.
Oh, I like it.
And one of the items that this has actually been an OG item on our list. It's
very
protein
good.
Powder, vanilla protein powder, peanut butter, espresso, bananas, and almond milk.
That's all you need.
Yeah, it's
I just
good.
Came from the gym too.
Oh, you did?
I usually go early. I did not go this morning. I had a doctor's appointment, but I knew you'd ask me.
I almost did not go to the gym this morning. I was going to sleep in. And because I had a podcast with you, I made myself get up and go to the gym. You've got to be kidding me.
I just went. I just got back.
Because you knew I was going to give you a hard time if you didn't go to the gym.
I knew you were going to ask. You'd be like, what'd you lift? And I can't. I can't be here and be like, well, it was a busy day because it's like, no.
Yeah, you cannot come in here to my place and tell me that you had a busy day because let me tell you, with me, there are no excuses.
No excuses.
Because if you want it, you're going to go get it and you're going
to
get the job done.
You can't do the podcast without a pump.
That's right.
So
yeah,
I got a shoulder pump. I'm ready to go.
I like that. We have podcasting and pump. Mm-hmm. I love it. Pump and then podcast.
Mm-hmm. In that order.
So it's really good. Well, what did you hit today?
Shoulders.
Nice.
I love them.
I did too. I did chest and shoulders.
Look at that.
Okay, what are you? Okay, let's like compare weights here.
Oh, gosh. I don't
what are
do
you What are you doing for your lateral raise?
I do usually
20s, 12s?
But I'll do a few 20s and then drop. I watched this video from Arnold and he was talking about how he dropped it. So I'll do a few heavy and then I'll drop down to like, what is it, 7.5 or
like
5 or so.
Like a,
so I'll
go like a drop
down.
Set?
Yeah.
But is that how you always train? And drop set or just like muscle or your shoulders?
I mix it up. That's what I've started doing lately. I feel like I get stagnant and I feel like I get in a rut and I feel like I'll get a good workout and the next day I'm like nothing. I don't feel anything. So I'm trying to mix it up.
Sure. Do you do your own programming? I know I sent you some of my stuff.
I do. That was brutal.
Yeah. That was
in a good way.
Yeah. It was good. It is nice though to have like just options, right? It kind of. Because even for me, you would think like I always have that motivation and it's not. It's really just the discipline to get up and go.
Yep.
Like I know what to do. Mm-hmm. Even whenever I go into the gym, like my workouts, if I go into the gym with a plan, they're so much more effective, even though I already know what to do.
Exactly.
But if I just go like being like, oh, I kind of know what to do. I'll just go through the motion. My workouts and the feeling afterwards is never as effective as like if it's planned out and it's intentional.
I do so much more and I'm so much more focused. So. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I think I lie to myself. I'm like, I don't need it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm fine. And then,
And then you're like, oh, dang.
Different.
Yeah, because you don't have any structure or anything. Yeah. And it's easy because you don't have the structure right there in front of you. It's easy to cut corners.
Definitely is.
Because you're like, oh, I'll just,
yeah,
you know, it's not down on paper. I can
do
what I want or I don't have a program.
I do need to get back on a program.
So, hey, I can send you some stuff. You
I
don't have
somebody.
To tell me that. I will literally be like, if you're like, hey, Ashley, like, I'm going to the gym. Just give me, what do you got for
like
shoulders and back?
I actually feel
dude,
like
dude, but I have
it.
So much.
Yeah,
I can, I will literally write you one on the fly. I'll be like, okay, give me 10 minutes. I'll text you back. I'll be like, here you go. And then you
works
can take
me.
Whatever you want. And you'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. And then, yeah, I loved it.
The was brutal. The boys and I still talk about it. It was great.
Good.
It was
I like that. I like to have a lasting effect on people.
It was memorable.
You know?
It's
good.
Like, remember that one? It's like, yeah. Yeah, too.
Well, good. Well, I got more where that came from if you ever
you
need a replenishment.
No shortage.
So I kind of want to talk about, we had you on the podcast, I believe it was last season. We're now in season four. We had you on season three.
Thank you.
We kind of talked about like the foundations of Pastor T and some of the stuff that you've gone through and how you've grown through adversity.
Yeah.
And kind of, I want you to talk about some of the awesome things right now that are happening with our church here locally in Virginia Beach. And those of you who are listening, look, I know this is a local church here in Virginia Beach, but I actually, there's a lot of people in my community that listen to Ascent Church, whether it's podcast, YouTube, if you guys, if you're not local and you can't come. So
it's really wild.
Yeah, it's wild, right?
It's really cool. All over the
social
country.
Media is like a, it's a love hate relationship. There's a lot of good that can come.
We just passed 90,000 downloads for our podcast.
Wow.
And we're freaking out. We're excited. So we're heading to 100 and we're just freaking out. I remember starting it and it was, you know, 12 people would hear it and we were hyped about that. And now it's just, it just kind of blew up. So we're just thankful.
Yeah.
We're super thankful. I grew up with it. I don't know if you know this. I had a stutter growing up, a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't talk. Did speech classes. Actually had surgery at one point. Like I had all the, to see what God has done through that, it's almost laughable.
Do you still struggle with anxiety?
Yes, but in a different way. I think I'm growing past that and getting through it. And I think God's constantly putting me in situations. That was the thing with that. I was afraid to answer the phone. It's like I had anxiety, so I had a stutter. But because I had a stutter, I had anxiety. It was kind of this loop.
Yeah. You were like stuck in a triangle.
Yeah.
You know, you like
and
couldn't
get out.
And then
you mess up one time. Yeah, and then it's all you're thinking about. Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. So, yeah, the fact that, yeah, if God can do that through us, it's pretty remarkable. And we're just really thankful. We chatted last time about my daughter a little bit.
Yeah.
How she was in the hospital. You talk about anxiety. People have asked, have you been back to the hospital where she was at? She was in the ICU for 38 days right after she was born. And people are like, oh, have you thanked the doctors? You thanked the nurses? And I didn't even, I didn't even want to go
to
Norfolk.
Yeah.
Like even going down 260, even driving to the skyline, I was,
PTSD.
I didn't even, I didn't even want to go. And I hadn't gone in probably a year, year and a half. And recently, I'm not trying to be down, a family at church, their little guy, he's three. He just got diagnosed with leukemia and he's there. And so it was, God was, I feel like he was like, it's now's the time to go back. And I didn't want to go. Went with a buddy and Helen, my wife, is like, are you good? Can you do it? I'm like, yep. My team is like, all right, can you go? I'm like, yep. But seeing, knowing where to park, knowing where to check in, knowing the elevator, knowing the snack bar, knowing how to clean your hands, like my experience had prepared me for that. And like, that's what God's showing me. And if the reason we went through that was to help other families, then I think it's a small piece of it, but it's all worth it. And it's for him and it's for his glory. Yeah. But being able to be, like if I look 3 years ago versus today, how, like that's the hardest situation for me.
So I want to stop you. Right. How do you have that mindset? Like take the pastor part out of it. How do you have that mindset to know, like, because this is what everybody struggles with, right?
Yeah.
We go through really hard things and it's so hard for us in the moment to know that everything that we're going through, and I feel like it's used all the time. Like we grow through that, but
we do.
I can tell you the hardest things that I have gone through that I didn't understand. And maybe I haven't yet, but most things I see the answers later and I'm like, I had to go through that so I can handle this.
Yes.
I had to go through that so I can help somebody else.
Exactly.
I had to go through that so I can tell my story.
100%.
So you can save another life.
A friend of mine asked, he's on my staff. He's kind of my right-hand guy. It was kind of an offhand comment. We were going and he's like, he pulled out his phone. He's like, I'll put it in my GPS. And I just remember saying, you don't need to do that. I've been here before. And like, that was a line that stuck with me. Like I've been here before. Like I know what that, we were going to visit a dad and a mom. Like I know exactly what that dad's feeling. I know I know how he's not sleeping at night. I know what he needs. I know what his concerns are. I know the burden he has. And in a way, everyone looks at someone going through hell and you're like, oh, it's hard. And of course, like, obviously.
Sure.
But I know it in a deeper way.
Sure.
And I know it in a more real way. And his wife was kind of laughing at us. And they're a godly couple. They're in good spirits. But I got there and I just gave the dad this really big hug.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hugger. Like, I'm just not my thing.
Noted. I'll never give you a hug again.
I'm just not
at church.
I just don't.
It'll be an elbow bump.
Yeah, that's more my thing. But I just gave, I just held him. I gave him a hug and just teared up. And his wife was like, I've never seen you hug anybody before.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's just a different experience.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with it now. And I know what he needs. And I know what it's like. And that's the root of our faith. Is that, I had a professor always say, God did not send us an email when we were hurting. He didn't say, oh, here's some things that'll make you feel better. He came himself. Like that's who Jesus, it's God with us. He literally came himself. and sat with us and was with us. And he knows what pain is. He knows what suffering is. So in a small little way, that's what we get to do for each other. Mm-hmm. But in this huge scale, when you're in the middle of it and you're like, this is literally what Jesus did for me, it just kind of knocks you flat. And it definitely gives you a new perspective.
When you walked through those elevator doors, or the hospital doors rather, when you went back, did you feel courageous? Did you feel like you were like, you felt like empowered? Like, I know, God is with me, and like, I feel courageous.
I put it off for probably a year and a half, but walking in,
yeah,
I actually, the line I said to him, I've been here before. I kept kind of saying, I've been here before. I know the elevator. I know how you check in. I know where you need your ID. Like, I've been here before. Uh-huh. And I was way, and even to look before my daughter was sick, to look, you know, when I started in ministry 5-10 years, probably I guess 10-15 years ago, the hospital is the hardest place to be to visit someone. It's just awkward. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. But in this weird way, it almost feels a little like home because I was there so much. Mm. So I was just like, I've been here before. I know the deal. Mm. I know how to talk to the nurses. This thing started beeping. I'm like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
I know what that little button does, which is just crazy. So, yeah, God definitely, I don't think it's the, you know, he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. I don't think my daughter was sick just for this, but I think that's one of the things he can bring out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we go through hell just, you know, just so we can help someone else. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot to that. But I think one of the things that God uses it for is to help love others, serve others, and God can work through us to bring healing through others. That's what I'm learning. And I knew that up here. I knew that in my head, but walking through it was a very, very, very real sense of, okay, this is how growth works.
Yeah.
I'm getting it. I'm learning.
Wow. I love that.
Wow.
That was tough, though.
It was tough.
Tough.
And people asked me, and I felt like a punk. I'm like, I'm not going back there.
Yeah.
Because I have to. I'm like, right. No.
Yeah, you're like, absolutely not.
No, I'm not going back. I hope I never see it again.
Right. Yeah.
But only this, if you have sweet to. Little family, they needed us. And so just got to go in.
So I want to talk about some of the, you know, even these families, right? Ascent Church, it's grown really fast in a short amount of time.
Yes.
And, you know, how you as a pastor, I feel like this is a good question actually coming from me. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with giving everybody enough love and support and attention when everybody needs that from you?
It's all about leading.
Your team,
it's all about leading
through
others. Yeah. You have to go God's first. Have to go God's first. And I always say in church, more is caught than taught. Like, I want my kids to see that. Like, I want, when they come downstairs, I want them to see me doing quiet time, serving them, reading the Bible. Got to start with God. Got to get recharged. Got to center on everything. And then family has to be first. Marriage, kids, like marriage is first, and then my kids. And it's just hard, but you got to say no a lot. Mm. Like, to say no to a lot of good opportunities and say yes to the best ones.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest. I think when you're just starting a church, a business, a family, a ministry, anything, you say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. You're just happy to be involved.
Right.
You're just like, yes.
Yeah, you're grateful. But yeah, do you feel a little obligated though? How does that guilt not weigh on you? Because if somebody's hurting like, and you talk about like you use your ministry through others, this is where you employ your other, like your leadership below you.
Mm-hmm. It all comes to the team. When I look at the life of Jesus, the fact that he didn't do it all himself.
It was his disciples?
That's what gets me. I'm like, if Jesus didn't try to do it all himself, who am I to even attempt it? Like, there's no way. If he was like, okay, I need 12, I'm gonna raise up these 12 guys. You know, and I mean, not that he needed them, but like, that was the plan. He raised them up, he taught them, sent them out. He had a group of 72, sends them out like that. To see him, and I'm like, who do I think I am if I try to do it myself? The fact that he spent so much time with them, and that was the goal. And he knew he wasn't gonna be there forever, and he was very clear, I'm leaving, I'm not gonna be here. Take
peace
the message
out.
Carry it on. So I think that that's what we all have to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a blurry line, though. There's not a day in which, okay, I used to say yes to this thing, now I can't. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of learn. And sometimes you're at something and you're like, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah,
I should be doing this. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn. Gosh, it's one of my favorite books is called Essentialism. Greg McKeown, I think it is. And I think it's in that book, but it just cut me deep. The idea is, if you don't plan your calendar, someone else will plan it for you. Mm-hmm. And so when... you know, it's easy to go through life of just like, well, I felt committed to do this.
Right.
They helped me, and so I should help them, and I should say yes to this thing at the school, and it's really hard. But you have
there's
to say
a saying that like just because your calendar is open doesn't mean you need to fill it.
That's great.
You know, 100%. just because you have free calendar space, you shouldn't feel obligated to fill it with something.
And that time is, I think, sometimes when I'm most creative. Leaving that time, I think that's sometimes when I do take a longer workout, or I do rest, or I do this, or read that book I've been meaning to read. So I think sometimes, for lack of a better phrase, the magic happens there.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't happen if it was filled.
Sure, sure.
So short answer is leading through others.
Yeah.
I think it's John Maxwell who says, if you can do something, if someone else can do it, it's either 60% or 70% as well as you can, hand it off. Mm. And that's really hard for me because I want them to be able to do it 100% as well. And then I'm like, then I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how people learn and that's how people grow. And when I shut up for a second and look back, I'm like, people let me preach. Not to say I'm amazing at it, but when I started preaching, I sucked. I thought I was awesome. Like I thought it was hilarious. And
but
I was
like, looking back, you're like, wow, that was really bad.
But people gave me a shot.
Yeah.
People, and so I need to look back, and I'm not saying my team's bad. My team's awesome. But the fact that you're not going to grow unless someone gives you a chance.
Sure.
And so it's twofold. One, helps me focus on what I need to focus on. Two, it allows them to be who God made them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the growth, the capacity of your team will solely be dependent on how much you allow your leadership above you to grow.
Yes.
The growth and capacity of any company is solely dependent on the leadership that you put on in place on the ground, your team on the ground.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's it really thing. Is. I mean, you know, you got to rely on your team a lot. So I want to kind of talk about, like, you know, the church is growing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This can be, you know, church, business, how do you know, you pray about something and you're asking God, like, how do I know if I should go left or right?
Mm.
How do you know if it's your own insecurities that are holding you back?
Yeah.
Is there anything, I'm just, you know, the listeners right now are like, okay, like I'm stuck between like a rock and a hard place and I don't know if, like, and I've been praying about it. What do I, how do I know if it's like the right answer or if it's myself, right?
We're going to do a whole series on this in the fall, and I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited
because
too.
The main question I get is how do I know? Should I marry this person or not? Should I take this job or not? Should I sign up for this or not? And it's a really hard question. Mm. Something we see in scripture over and over is that God works through others.
Mm.
I think that's the main thing. I think we're more isolated than ever. I think we're more, for lack of a better phrase, lonely than ever. And I really think trying to do this alone is impossible. Mm. And I think it's what a lot of us try to do. But sometimes you need someone to look at you and be like, honey, no.
Yeah.
Like, that, he's bad for you. Yeah. Or no, I don't see you doing that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that hurts. You don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have people in your life who love you enough to tell you when you're being stupid, you need to find those people.
Yeah, someone who can, like, be real with
who
you.
Who love you enough.
Sure.
And that's not rude. That's actual love to be like, this is a bad call.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
Or do it, but not now. You need this. So I think that's part of it, is to have others. Don't do it in a vacuum. Don't do it isolated. And just lay it all to God. And just rest with those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Have the guts to be like, am I being selfish?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the easy path? Or am I stubborn and I'm doing this because it's a hard path? I know people who just want to take the easy route.
Sure.
But I know people who have to do the hard route because it's like an ego thing. It's like, I'm the person who does hard things, so I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God may be calling you, he might just fly a door open, but sometimes he might call you to grind and scale that mountain. So I think it's tough. I think you have to lead with an open hand. Craig Groeschel, I believe it is, always says, if you're not making some mistakes, you're not being risky enough. And I just totally butchered the quote. But the idea is, you should look back and be like, I made a bad business move.
Mm-hmm.
My family and I overcommitted to do baseball and soccer and cheer and swimming. Like, we made a mistake. Like, if you don't look back and realize we messed up there, or we're learning that we can't handle all that, then you're not, then you're playing too safe.
I like to say, if I'm going to fail, I want to fail fast.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I want to pivot. And then I want to execute.
Yeah.
Right. And then if I fail there, I want to pivot.
Yeah.
I want to find something else, an open door, something. Yeah. And then I want to execute.
And
that's
that
it.
That person after that third pivot is a different person than after the first
one. Yeah. Yes. And you learn through your experiences.
And you're okay with failure. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you know,
you've done it once. You're like, it's no big deal. You just pick yourself up and you got to pivot. Yeah.
So I think you have to listen to God and look and pray, obviously, but you're going to mess up and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I went to seminary, it's a graduate school for pastors, and I could not figure out where to go. They were all over the country, different schools, different professors. I just couldn't figure it out. And I prayed and I just felt nothing. I remember sitting on a bench outside of this one school in Boston. Literally, I had to decide. And I sat on the bench overlooking this little hill. And I was like, God, give me something.
Yeah.
Give me a bird to fly by. Yeah. Give me a stranger. Like, it was just silence. There's just nothing. I was just nothing. And spoke with others, got wisdom. And I thought this one school in Chicago was the one. So I said, God, I think you're calling me to this. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. If I'm wrong, I trust you enough to either reroute my life, like you're talking about pivot, or fly open the door. Because I either am not seeing what you're showing me, or I just don't know. Or maybe you're saying, I think sometimes we think God has only one path for us.
I love
that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, I think sometimes he's like, you can do
either
this. Like, when my kid's like, do I have to do baseball or soccer? It's not like he's going to be a failure in life if he picks the wrong one.
Sure.
Sometimes I think God is like, there's options.
You can choose.
God's going to be glorified in each. And I think if we honor him and put him first, it's okay. So I said, I'm going to the school in Chicago. I had my roommates picked out, my meal plan, my books.
Your meal plan?
Yeah, everything. Like,
my workout routine, I was ready. Done. My sleeping bag.
It was done. I almost had the flight tickets. And it was like maybe 15, 20 days before it started, this different school, the one in Boston, called me out of the blue and said, hey, we have a new scholarship just for you. And I was like, okay, we'll go.
Wow.
But I think if I had gone to the other school, I don't think my life would have been ruined. But I think sometimes you just got to say,
it would have been a completely different path.
We're going for it. Yeah, it would have. But, you know, I think God would have, he would have been there too. Tim Keller's one of my heroes. He planted a church in Manhattan, I think in 89, and it just blew up. And people kind of looked at him like, how do you have so much peace? How do you know God's calling you to do this? Mm-hmm. And I've heard him say, I didn't. I wasn't certain. And it could have been a disaster. Mm-hmm. Like, but God was. And I thought he was. And people affirmed it, and I just stepped out in faith, and it turned out to be successful. But I think sometimes we mishear, and I think we have to have the humility to look back and say kind of what you implied. Hey, was that me or was that God? So I think not being overly confident. Whenever you start a sentence with God told me this, it's a bold move.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think it's hard to say, okay, was that just a dream I had? Was that just a thought I had?
Right.
Was it God told me, but I just wanted to hear that? So
right, because you can really, I mean, you can really kind of get into your own head on what to do or which direction to go.
For sure.
Yeah. So you have, okay, so let me see.
Yeah, where are we at?
Let's see.
This is delicious, by the way.
Thank you. Let's see. I want to start... Let's pivot it to, you want to talk about mental health a little bit?
Whatever you want to chat about. Okay. We could do that.
All right, that's a big deal in this world. Pivot. I know. Because you just finished like a whole series on mental health, didn't you?
I think we started.
What was it
called? We did in January. And I forgot the name of it.
What was the name of it? Let's look really quick.
I'll check on YouTube.
Yeah, because that's how I'll be like, okay, cool. I'll just basically loop it in. And then we'll be like, we had this sermon the first of the year. Because when did I have you on my podcast last? Was it before January?
It was the fall, maybe.
Was it? Okay.
Maybe.
I think.
You said that was the last season?
It had to have been the fall.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. January. Here we go.
I can't remember the name of that. Something... It was like the crisis on mental health or...
I have the series name. I have the sermon titles. New Directions.
That's okay.
Focusing on Mental Health, Answering Anxiety, and the Call to Endure.
Okay.
And then Identity Transformed. But I don't...
That's okay. All right. So last time that you were on the show, it was last season. We started the year. I want to talk about... Because right now, and for you especially, for all of us, like... sports are starting. Mm-hmm. Things are crazy.
Yeah.
You had a really good, what do you call it? Segments? Series?
Yeah. A series is kind of a group of talks, like a four or five or so. Yeah.
So you had a really good series on mental health. And
Thank
I think
you.
That's, it's a really important topic right now. I know we were talking about how people, you know, you mentioned today people feel more alone than ever.
I believe that.
I think coming out of COVID, people not really knowing how to interact anymore, like what to do or what's right, what's wrong. And so we're seeing a lot of a big decline in people's mental health. And it was such like a really, really good sermon and a topic. And I know that a lot of people, even myself, really struggle with that.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to start talking a little bit about mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all go through our own struggles, you know, and I think that it's easy for us to get into our own minds.
Yes.
The church has played a huge part in helping people in our community that I know of.
It's huge.
That have suffered with mental health or needing counseling and or even like addiction, right? Addiction is really big right now. And a huge part of like the mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And this is where I know like Ascent is, has really came in and has been able to help like a lot of people.
We're thankful for that.
But somebody right now who is, let's say they're starting to feel like the effects of mental health. I will say first and foremost, I can attest to this.
Yeah.
There's truly no greater therapist than God.
Amen to that.
And I can tell you guys from my experience of being completely broken and empty, the only thing that I can tell you, even if you just don't even know where to start, just start at Matthew.
Yeah.
Start at Matthew and just read.
Yeah.
And that, if you don't know where to start, if you can't find peace and comfort, start there.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it's so fantastic. Now that I have my pastor here with me, I know that you're not an expert in this field, but I know that you have a lot of, you can give a lot of guidance to some people who are struggling, and you did a whole series on
this. It's definitely, when the conversation comes up, people always ask me, how do you know what to preach about? Mm-hmm. And you can preach the whole Bible, you can do this and that, there's a lot of things. And I think it's good to talk about all of Scripture, but the value of living here and knowing your congregation is you know what they're struggling with. So you can't just talk about it, but you have to be able to weave it in because you know what people are struggling with. When I started out speaking, I thought if people are laughing, smiling, saying amen, they're with you. That's partially true. They're really with you when it is dead silent, when not a head is moving, when not a pin, you can hear a pin drop. And when we talk about mental health, I wish I had a camera from my perspective to show everyone how still it is. It's unbelievable. No one's checking their phone. No one's looking around. It's just, it's like a bunch of statues because everyone has either been there, is there, or has someone close to them fighting that fight. And I think the first danger is that they feel like it's just them. And that's the hardest part, I think. I think the world, if it's the enemy, whoever, bullies us, shames us into silence. Would your team follow you if they knew you had the struggle? Would your spouse look down on you? Would this change things at work? And so I think the danger is not only is this a massive problem, but people are afraid to talk about it. Men are afraid to talk about it. Strong women are afraid to talk about it. Moms are afraid to talk about it. And I know moms who feel guilty because it's like,
they feel like they should have to carry the world.
Yeah. I'm a mom and I, you know, my kids are a blessing and they're exhausting, but you know, and it's like same with your work. Same with, you know, I know guys in the Navy, they're afraid to talk about it because they don't want that to be, a lot of guys come, you know, very private, can we talk about this? I don't want people to know about this. So I think that's the hardest thing, that there's a widespread, I think, challenge to all of us in this mental health tragedy that's going on. But the problem is, you can't, people are afraid to even admit it's a problem.
Right.
So how are you going to get help? And some people who do want to get help, you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Like, where do you even turn if you don't have a church, if you don't have something at work, if you feel like you can't afford counseling? So we pay for it, and that's a good chunk.
Yeah.
But it's something we can't talk about. I can't stand up there and talk about it.
Right.
And
sure.
Be like, well, you're on your own.
Yeah. Sure.
We care about this, but we're not willing to put any dollars behind helping it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, we do some counseling ourselves, like pastoral counseling, but we refer a lot of people out to local, you know, licensed therapists, and they are slammed.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad.
Yeah.
It's bad because I'm like, okay, this is the need in the world, but it's mm-hmm. good because I'm like, okay, maybe culturally mm-hmm. people are actually like, okay,
they're
I need
help.
This.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, it's a good thing. But like, let's get some more of them. Let's step up some more of them, because there's a huge need right now, which so, encourages me.
Yeah. Like, you probably can't answer this, but what do you think is the cause for all of this, like this mental health crisis? Really, what is the root cause?
I think people don't have hope. Or they struggle with hope.
Just everything going on in the world.
I think that's part of it. I think we are hope-centric creatures. And people, I think, more and more are told your identity is linked to how you look outside or what you drive or your performance. And it can, if you link your identity to that, aging shakes you to the core. Shake it, your job shakeup shakes you to the core. We're constantly seeing pictures on our phones of people who look better or have more money or are more successful or are funnier than us. Mm-hmm. Like that, we're not built for that. Mm-hmm. I love social media because of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a neutral medium. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not good or bad. Like, you can use it for great good, but you can use it for great bad. It's like the internet. Yes. It's like a car. Like anything, it can be used for really good things or really awful things. And God's using it, obviously. But I think constantly comparing ourselves to others. You mentioned COVID. I think culturally that isolated a lot of people that people still haven't come out of, and struggling with hope. I mentioned a few weeks ago, a lot of people believe, if you don't believe in God, then I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You believe you're a cosmic mistake. Mm. You believe you are here strictly for an accident, because of an accident. Mm-hmm. And everything before you is meaningless, and everything's after you is meaningless. And no matter if you're the most successful human being on the freaking planet in the history of the world, you're going to be forgotten. Yeah. And it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
When the sun burns up, or when we blow ourselves up, or what, it doesn't matter. And like, I don't know how you could carry that and go out and smile and be like, I got hope, I got
and
meaning.
Feel like you have purpose, you know, to live whenever, you know, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, but if you're told, and I firmly believe this, historically, scientifically, theologically, that you were made in God's image, that he took his time on you, that you're not a mistake, that you're not abandoned, that he loves you so much he sent his son to die for you, that you're worth fighting for, that you're worth bleeding for. Like, that is such a different worldview, and that changes. It doesn't make life easy, but knowing how God views you, and knowing that you have a hope, that you have a future, and it's not based on your performance, he's giving it to you as an act of grace, like that radically changes everything. And it allows you, if you do have a bad day, it's okay. If you do fail, it's okay. If you do have a struggle, you can admit it. You're not alone, and you have a community around you to come alongside you. And I think that's the church. The church, the word church means assembly. It means gathering. And I'm thankful that people watch on YouTube. And I'm thankful people listen to the podcast. But we need people around us all the time. And we just can't go through it alone. So that's a few of my ideas that I'm seeing.
Sure. You said something a few weeks ago. You cannot have something with gratitude, or what was it?
I would tell my son this all the time.
Negatively, or say it.
You cannot cancel your thoughts, but you can replace them.
Yes.
You cannot be anxious and have a sense of gratitude at the same time. You can't.
Yeah.
And the study, which I don't have all the details in front of me, I'll post about it. It's fascinating on how your brain works. Like, you, and I mean, even if you don't know anything about brain chemistry, You literally can't. If you're walking down the street, you can't be complaining about your car and at the same time thankful that you have a car.
Yes.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't be looking at your kids mad at them, frustrated that they made a mess, they did this, they're expensive. Mm-hmm. And at the same time saying, thank God they're alive.
Yeah. Like, we have a thing in the kitchen when we mess up, you know, or like we want to throw our spatulas or I'm back there, you know, who knows what happened. You know, we mess up an order.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we start being like, start complaining. It's like, I'm just so happy to be here. Like, you know, like, and it's a thing in the back because like, it's so easy to start complaining or like about anything. It's so easy. And, like, what's crazy about that is it's so contagious, the complaining, whether it's out loud
rumbling,
or it's in your mind. Yeah. And so in the back of our kitchen, like, you know, I have a thing with the staff is like, there's no complaining. Like, if you're going to complain about, or if you're going to like, if you want to like talk bad about like anybody, just thank them, like be positive, you know?
Great.
But that is so true. And how you said that, I remember whenever I was listening to that, that particular sermon, I had never thought of it that way because we, it's easy to be a pessimist and
it spreads. It does. So easy.
Yeah. And if you can learn, if you can acknowledge the negative thinking, the negative thoughts, even like what you want to speak and start being intentional and fully present in the moment to change that into gratitude. I think it's healing for the mind.
We're so into feelings and emotions. Like sometimes you've got to just choose to be thankful. You might not feel it. Maybe it's in the kitchen and you spill something. Like Christianity is not saying force a smile, but you can stop and be like, okay, I do it to my kids. Give me five things you're thankful for. Like you can force your mind to be like, okay, thankful for this and thankful, keep going.
Yep.
Like you can do that. Mm-hmm. And eventually I think that starts to shift and it turns things around and it really does.
Yeah.
And it's a good practice, especially when you don't feel like it.
Sure.
Working out when you don't feel like it is fantastic.
The discipline.
Right? And I think mentally it's the same. It's a very similar thing. Mm-hmm. You don't just exercise when you're in the mood.
Yeah.
No, you
have to
have
the discipline to like.
Yeah. You don't just go to work when when you're feeling it. Like you, but mentally we let our brain just drift all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's good to train your mind and to stop when you're on the spiral. Just slow down, take a breath and pivot it around.
So recently, like within the last couple of weeks, I have started seeing somebody and talking like 4-hour stints.
How has that been?
Really hard.
Yeah.
Very ugly, actually. Harder the following day, but it seems to get better. But I want to share something that I learned is that when you start feeling really overwhelmed or whatever is going on, think about the five senses. Because a lot of like, you know, when you start spiraling or your mind is out of control, you're not present, right? You're thinking about everything else and like you're stuck in this like tornado of just like your thoughts are just spiraling, right? So you got to do something to basically get out of that spiral.
Yeah.
And what I have found, and it does help, is if you can bring yourself back to being fully present and we talk about the five senses, like what do you see?
Yeah.
Well, I see Pastor T. I see there's trees.
Yeah.
We have American Brew. We have lights, you know.
Yeah.
What do you smell? You know, you, and then you just, even audibly, you say, this is what I smell. You know, like, what do you taste? Like, well, we're drinking Muscle Joe's. I have
delicious,
really bad taste in my mouth, like in between drinks. So just keep drinking it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like bringing yourself back to like the fully present, because what's happening is, you know, you allow your mind just gets out of control
and you
cannot bring it back. I want to ask you to just my curiosity and those who are listening, where in the Bible does it talk about like mental health? And, you know, right now, this is actually probably has been more for me than my kids, but I've started writing a Bible verse for the kids each week.
I think I've seen it.
So, and then at the end on Friday, if they get it right, we have a treasure box.
Ooh.
So they get to get something out of the treasure box. We have like
that.
$5 gift cards, Dunkin' Donuts gift cards, you know, all kinds of stuff, like age appropriate things. And and that's just one of the things, like, you know, in this world, it's so chaotic. We're so busy.
Yeah.
like that, I know that is one thing that I can do consistently, like for my boys. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, like in the Bible, like where does it talk about mental health?
Yeah, so there's not, so that phrase is not present.
So that's another, that makes sense. This is kind of like a newer, I would say like when, you know, when we were little and our parent, like was that, was mental health really like a,
I don't know when, like I'm obviously, I know there was psychotherapy and counselors, but I don't know when the phrase mental health came into, you know, the popularity it has today. I also, and this could just be an assumption or this could not be accurate, it seems like our generation is way more open to talking about it than previous generations, which I like that trend. Mm-hmm. I like to see that. There's a lot of times in scripture, and it wouldn't be characterized as mental health, but it definitely talks about mental health. Paul's in prison. The letter to the Philippians is probably the most joyful book in the New Testament, maybe the Bible. He's literally in prison. Mm. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Again, I tell you, rejoice. He's locked up. Mm. And there's so much there about choosing to look to God and choosing to be joyful and choosing to rejoice.
Sure.
How you may not feel it, but it's, you can choose to stop and praise Him or thank Him. You know, it talks about the peace that surpasses all understanding that can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Elijah's probably my favorite example, and I've done sermons on Elijah. He may be worth a whole series, and it's not so much a mental health topic, but it applies to mental health. Elijah was top of his game. Successful, strong, confident, and not confident in himself, confident in the Lord. Like, just, he seemed fearless. Mm. The nation had turned away from worshiping God and was worshiping false gods. Mm. The king and queen even were doing that. And Elijah's the guy who basically challenges them, the false prophets, to a contest. He says, meet me on the mountain. You pray to your God, I'll pray to mine.
I don't know the story.
So. He says, we'll see who brings fire down. He literally stands him up there. And there's all these prophets, and they're all mourning. They're dancing, they're cutting themselves, doing all this stuff to bring their God to act, and nothing happens. Elijah's running his mouth. He's mocking them. He's overly confident. It's his turn. He takes the altar, which they're calling fire upon it. He covers it in water. He says, I'll make it even harder. He prays. It's not even a good prayer. It's not about him. Fire comes down. Everyone says, okay, the Lord is, he's God. It's a little dark. They kill a lot of the prophets of Baal. I don't know if it's all of them, or it's kind of a violent thing. But it was clear in that culture, like, okay, you guys have been lying, whatever. Elijah's top of his game, top of his game. It appears that the king and queen, even though there was this evidence that Yahweh was God, that they did not repent, they didn't apologize, they are still trying to kill Elijah. And this is fascinating, has this total mental, for lack of a better term, a mental break. Mm. He runs off. He collapses under this tree. He basically says to God, I wish you would just take my life. Mm. He doesn't say, I'm going to take my life. Mm-hmm. He believes his life is not his to take, but he asks God to do it. Mm-hmm. And you could tell he's in despair. He quits the ministry. He runs. He's just done. And I think a lot of people feel that. You're in the wilderness, you're in the desert, you quit, you throw in the towel. And the way God ministers to him is so powerful. Mm. God sends the angel of the Lord, which some people believe, a lot of people believe, is a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Mm. The angel of the Lord, God's messenger, representing God. God in a way. And what the angel of the Lord does, he doesn't give him a sermon. He doesn't give him this, if you tried harder, he touches him. He makes him pancakes. Mm. Says he makes bread on hot coals. And I did a sermon one time. I literally made pancakes. Mm. I literally got the Skittle out, made them. And it's just fascinating. He gave him some bread, some water. He told him to sleep. He sleeps. He gave him touch, because sometimes we need physical touch. Yeah. He gave him food and water, because we're physical beings. God isn't like, you just need to pray more. Mm-mm. God's like, sometimes you need a nap. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to take a day off and rest. And eventually God meets him at the top of a mountain, and he challenges Elijah on some things that Elijah was doing improperly and incorrectly. But the fact that God, who made us physical beings, says you got to address the physical. He made us mental beings. You got to address the mental. Mm-hmm. We get tired. You got to rest. Mm-hmm. The fact that I think a lot of people would assume God would say, you just need to have more faith. It's not what he does at all. And I think the reason a lot of Christians are afraid to maybe admit there's a problem is because it's like, oh, I don't have enough faith. It's like, no, it's okay to have a bad day.
Yeah.
It's okay to be broken down.
Sure.
It's okay to feel depleted and exhausted and like you have nothing left. And God is not going to come to you and say, you just need to try harder. This is not who he is. Mm. He comes alongside you and he's restorative and he's good. He's kind and he's gracious. Mm. So that's a long answer. There's a lot of, so to speak, incidents in scripture where people had, for lack of a better phrase, trauma or issues with mental health. And when we see God meeting them where they are is just powerful. But my favorite is Elijah. I think it's 1 Kings 19-ish, somewhere in there.
What would you say to people who, like, where to start? If somebody's listening to this and they're like, well, I don't really know a whole lot about the Bible.
Yeah.
I know the Bible. I know, you know, Jesus Christ died for my sins. And they're struggling with their mental health. Like, what would be your suggestion? Mm-hmm. Where do they start? If they're wanting to get in the Word, if they're wanting to start praying, how do you start that?
You mentioned Matthew. I would think reading the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or all the above. That's fantastic. I would definitely start there. I would find locally a church that, I would say just three things. A place you feel like you can grow. A place you feel like you belong. And a place you feel like you could bring others. I would say those three things. And when I say you belong, a place you fit in. When I say grow, I mean a place you fit in, but not so comfortable
that you're challenged a little bit, challenged in your faith.
Exactly.
Yeah, and learning.
Not like, oh, everything about me is affirmed and I'm perfect just the way I am. No, like you need someone to be like, okay, we need to grow. We have, and I mean, even with Elijah I just referenced, like, God just didn't say, oh, it's fine. Like, he had some hard words for him.
Yeah.
But Elijah needed that. And it showed God's sovereignty and what he was doing in his life. So, reading scripture is a fantastic place to start. And I think we should do it every day. Mm-hmm. Praying. But being a part of a community is so important. Mm-hmm. And we Americans, we for some reason, I get it. We're into freedom and independence.
Ashley that's a Canadian that listens to you.
Oh, I love it.
So you better
I was saying it's something we do wrong.
And you Canadian, Sarah, because I know you're going to be listening to this. Too.
You know, I was going to say, you know, something we do wrong as Americans is we make faith very, it's just about me. It's like, you know, but we have to do it in community. It was never intended to be done just me and my Bible. We need that. And I start every day like that. And I think everyone should, but you have to have people around you. So that would be my challenge. Read the Bible is great, but having a, Bible believing church that you can go to and grow in and be a part of the body. I think that is the key. And it's okay to not know everything. And it's okay you've never read the Bible. It's okay you got a lot of questions. We're all there.
How are you inspired by reading the Bible when you probably know it front and back, sideways?
That's what's fascinating.
Like, how can you be excited to wake up and read something that you literally are an expert in?
Because it's alive and active and it cuts you deep. Huh. And some things you think, right when you think you know it, someone teaches it in a different way, or you see a perspective you never thought. I read that story about Elijah, I don't know how many dozens of times, and I just thought, it's like, oh, Elijah. And then it was Tim Keller. I think the sermon's called The Still Small Voice by Tim Keller. He has a Gospel and Life podcast. And he's the one who talked about it in terms of kind of mental health. Sure. And I never saw it like that. I think as you grow, you read it differently. As you have more life experience, you see things differently.
Absolutely.
I think that's it.
Yeah, the life experience. You read it when you're a teenager. And it doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Yeah, and with kids, it's different. And then when you've grown kids, it's different. And every stage of life, it's just alive and active.
Yeah.
And which is awesome because you definitely, right when you think you know it, it's the time I think God flips it over on you.
Yeah.
And you see things in a new light, in a good way, in a good way.
The continual growth. I guess it's the same thing. People could ask me, how come I never get bored with my fitness?
Sure.
I mean, it's easy. I have a new, even a heart posture, look at something different and I make it different or, you can look more in depth to things and change it up and see things from a completely different perspective.
When you see, I heard it described like this. If you read scripture right, you're not reading it. You got to let it read you.
That's deep.
Yeah. And when it starts to read you and look and we've been talking about, like, looking in the mirror.
Sure.
When it's just not like, I want to see what this book has to say, but when you actually let God, when you let him look at you and your own heart and your own life, mm-hmm. and you realize, oh man, there are some things mm-hmm. I need to repent of or change or grow in, that is what keeps it fresh. Mm-hmm. And seeing it like that, seeing not as I'm reading this old, dusty old book, but like God is reading me here, and like that, that's what does it. And realizing yeah. he's with you.
Yeah.
It's just a powerful thing. Mm. And it's cool to see that what he can do in those moments. Like I said, especially when you feel like, oh, I know this chapter. No,
yeah.
you don't.
Yeah, and you don't. You don't. You're like, just kidding. Mm. You thought you knew. You thought you had to figure it out.
Thought
but
you did.
Don't.
Gotcha.
So whenever you and I had our last podcast,
yep.
did you, because we were like, that's, we don't even know when that was. It was last year, we think.
Yeah, it's tough for us.
We were trying to think. Oh, shoot. What was I going to say? Did you have a podcast then?
We did.
Mm-hmm. You did. Because I remember, I don't know if it was, I thought you were like, at the time or at some point, you were telling me that you were wanting to get your podcast going or like even going more or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think we definitely.
But
yeah.
it's going. So I know we talked about your podcast earlier, mm-hmm. but I guess we can hit on it again. If cool. you're wanting to go back and listen to this sermon,
yep.
the mental health sermon, it starts in the beginning of January. So go back mm-hmm. to the podcast. It's the Ascent Church podcast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Go back. It's a five-part series.
Yeah, four or five, somewhere in there.
Somewhere. So, I mean, it's like 45 minutes long. You guys can listen to that and mm-hmm. really, really have some clarity and probably direction if you're listening to this today and you're like, wow, I'm struggling and I need some help, but I don't know where to, you know, what to do. Even start with the podcast. Start with the podcast and
there
then get into scripture. Get a community.
Yeah.
Find some help.
Don't do it alone.
So what's next for you? You have a lot going on.
I wish I knew.
You have a lot. You wish you knew.
Yeah. I wish I knew.
So, yeah. So, like, do you have anything in the works? Anything coming up? Like, people are listening to, you know, is it all, like, classified?
We're at the place.
It's classified.
I wish I had some exciting.
It's classified.
I wish I had exciting
I'm
news.
Still waiting for the bench press competition that we're supposed to do.
It's
actually,
it's
I haven't been. It is?
It's supposed to be.
Is it just for the fathers?
Well,
are we gonna have a Mother's Day competition?
So this is what happened last year. On Father's Day, we're like, let's do a bench press competition. And on Mother's Day, we gave all the moms flowers, and all the moms are furious. They were like,
"There's some athletic girls in there. There's some
yeah,
strong women in that yeah. church." So
they were all the women on Father's Day were like, "Is this how you view us? We got flowers, and all the men are throwing waiter. Like, is this all we're good for?"
Yeah.
So we, yeah, I would love your input. That would be a great thing to put our heads together on.
Yeah, yeah.
The moms.
Little friendly church competition.
They like the.
We can do a throwdown.
They like the gift, but I think they were a little mad at me.
Yeah, they wanted.
Like,
to prove their strength
yeah,
there.
What is this?
Yeah. Okay, I can come up with some good ideas.
May need you involved in Father's Day.
I will. Just let me know. I can be the announcer. I can encourage people. I can tell them
make
add
sure
more weight
make
on.
Sure there's clean reps.
Oh
make
yeah,
sure
I can be. I will no rep everybody. I'll
like
be like no rep.
That.
Nope. Gotta start over.
Keep us in line.
Oh yeah, I do that with my boys, with my husband. Yeah, all day long. Hey, I want to say, well, I have a question from a listener, that I wanted to ask you.
Oh, cool.
When somebody is passing,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When somebody is passing, how do you know whether you should pray for them to go on
mm-hmm.
to God
yep.
or pray for their healing to stay here?
Oof. That's a good one. Okay.
And there's actually somebody right now that's mm-hmm. really suffering with that.
Yes.
It's not me.
Sure.
They actually personally asked if I could ask you this question.
Sure. Well, that is it's an honor to be asked.
Yeah. And
so
I know it's
definitely
a controversial question, because if you have family
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and you're
sure.
like wanting them to stop the suffering and to go on, but how do you know what to pray for
yeah.
and to ask God for?
What's central to the Lord's Prayer mm-hmm. when they asked Jesus, how do we pray? And he, you know, he gave them the Lord's Prayer is the concept of your will be done. And part of your will be done is implying, God, you know what I don't know. I think the nature of this question is we don't know what to pray. Do I pray for healing? Do I pray for them to stay? Do I pray for them to kind of be at peace? I think the heart's posture needs to be not my agenda, but your agenda. Your will be done, God.
Sure.
And I think that it is great to ask for healing, but mm-hmm. I think it's also great to ask for rest.
Yeah.
And scripture calls death. Yeah. If you're in Christ, it talks about how those who are in Christ have fallen asleep. Like, death for us is sleep.
It's rest.
It's rest.
It's peace.
And it, the idea is that we're it doesn't last, you know. When you fall asleep, it ain't forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's kind of linked in there. So I think with everything, especially this, I think you can pray what you feel led to pray with the idea of your heart posture is, God, your will be done. I don't think you can stake your feet on, this person has to be healed, God. Or, God, you have to do this. I think, and part of that is releasing it and reminding yourself that I'm not in control.
Yeah.
I'm not in control at all, as hard as it is. Mm-hmm. But these times definitely remind us something we should know, that we're not in control and we don't know what's best. I think that's the heart of the question. So that is what I would pray. Your will be done.
Thank you.
What I prayed when my daughter was sick, all the time on the beach, I think God taught me a prayer. You could say led me to pray this, is because it was a combination of I was praying for healing, but there was moments where I couldn't help but think, is God preparing me to say goodbye? So my prayer was, you are God and you can. You are no less God if you don't. You're God and you can heal this person, but you're no less God if you don't and you call them home. And part of that, I think, is for surrender. So that's my answer.
Yeah, that's really my good.
Your will be done.
I know that will really help this person. Thank you. I just want to say on behalf of myself and everybody listening to this, thank you for coming in today.
Fun.
I always have a great time.
We had a good time.
Always.
Flew by.
Yeah, but thanks for just your wisdom.
Thanks
your knowledge, your
really
inspiration, and all of it. And I would love to have you on again sometime.
I know.
And
right,
maybe we won't wait, you know, for like, as I feel like it was almost a year. I don't know how long
and
it was.
And I was here this morning for a meeting.
I know.
I've been here twice today. It's a great day.
It's funny that so I had a really late night with sports. We were talking about sports.
Ooh,
I did not get home last night till like 10:15. The boys weren't fed. I'm like, everybody just gets cereal. I'm not fighting with you. If you're not hungry, just go to bed. Yeah. Like, I'm just done. Surrendered. I'm like, mom's not working right now. So like, I'm done. There's no mother here. You know, and this morning I went to bed. I was like, okay, I can have one off day during the week.
Yeah.
I was like, Wednesday is going to be my off day, which is typically my off day. I woke up and I have this thing. I don't know how I do it. I don't ever have to set an alarm. I just wake up. Like, I wake up literally 2 minutes before my alarm would go off without fail.
Wow.
Even though I told myself I'm going to sleep until six, that's sleeping into me, six.
Yeah.
Wow. I still woke up at 5:20 where I would normally have my alarm set for like 5:30 to get up and to get out the door and to go train. And I was like, this is a sign. I was like, it's because in my mind, my subconscious is telling me that Pastor T is coming to my podcast, and he's gonna be like, "What'd you train today?" I'll be like, "I can't say I didn't train today." I was like, "So I did. I went and I got chest.
Yep.
I did shoulders because I'm trying to get big for my show in August."
Yeah, you are.
And freaking did the thing, and I was like, "I cannot let him outdo me."
Well,
it's the competitor inside of me.
I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and meetings, and so I did not lift when I usually lift.
And then you're like,
nope. But I said, I'm going to see her in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I was literally here. I saw you.
I saw you. Yeah.
I had a burrito.
Yeah.
And then
it was a good burrito, wasn't it?
It was huge.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yeah. Steak and cheese.
That's my favorite one.
So good. Brew sauce.
Everything's good. But gosh, there's something about that. And it's spreading too. I always talk about it.
It's good.
All the boys get.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
nice.
Everyone who works for me, when the boys come by, that's what they get.
Yeah.
But yeah. Hey. It went, changed, had to get a pump in because
yeah,
I knew
right.
You were going to ask.
We're keeping each other accountable, even though we're not intending to.
Yeah. And we lifted similar things today, which is interesting.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. What a terrible start if you would have said, what did you lift today? And I was like, I didn't lift.
I was thinking.
And you would have assumed it was, you know, you wouldn't have bought, oh, it was my off day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was. Yeah. Sure it was.
Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, right. I'm like, wow, this guy's all talk, you know? All right, dude. Well, we will catch you guys next time. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Reborn Podcast with Ironclad. Look, if this inspired you, if this motivated you or encouraged you, just share it. That's all that we ask. Share it on your feed. Share it with a family member, a friend who is in need that could also have benefit of hearing this message. Thank you guys once again to listening to the Reborn Podcast with Ironclad. My name is Ashley Horner with Pastor T, and we were out. We are out, and I will catch you next week. Bye.
There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all, and we're still unbreakable.